You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. It was one of the most significant population shifts of the entire 20th century, the Great Migration, when African Americans migrated out of the South, especially during the 1930s and 40s. Now a University of Michigan study shows the Great Migration helped the next generation, the children of those men and women who left the South. One of the study's co-authors is with us now. Catherine Massey is a scientist with the U of M Institute for Social Research. Catherine, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
So your study is a first in the way you use the census data. How so?
So each census has to be kept private for at least 72 years. So then in 2012, the 1940 census was fully released, which allowed researchers with Ancestry.com and the Minnesota Population Center to send the data overseas to have it digitized. And it's allowed us to link that data up to contemporary data. So we took the 1940 census and we linked it to the 2000 census.
I think most of us did not realize that that information is not just there for the taking, that 70 years have to pass.
That's right. It's kind of an interesting restriction, and you can tell they made it when lifespans were quite a bit different than they are today because, you know, 72, I think they were hoping that everybody would die before the full census was released.
But now you said you were able to link it up with data from 2000. Is that limited data?
That's right. The data from 2000 is restricted by the Census Bureau. So we did all of this research within the restricted data enclave that the Census Bureau maintains. It's called the Federal Statistical Data Research Center.
Okay.
So all of this data was kept private and confidential. We only had the results released, and they went under full review before they were released by the Census Bureau.
So what were you looking for? What was the question you wanted to answer?
Well, I think that there's this big debate in the literature even about the first generation of Black migrants who chose to move out of the South. We know that they had mixed outcomes when they moved north. A lot of people find that they had increased wages, that they had better employment opportunities. But then on the other hand, they faced higher incarceration rates. Their health suffered, so that the mortality rates are much higher for the Black migrants who moved to the north. Our question was, how does the increased income of the parents and the environment that the children are being raised in the north affect their outcomes?
And what'd you find?
Well, we found that they did benefit in terms of income, and they had lower poverty rates and higher education attainment levels.
And you were able to make that connection comparing data from 1940 and what you know of 2000.
That's right. The 1940 census is a really special census because it's one of the first ones that ever asked education and income levels. So we were able to look at the income of the parents from the 1940 census and then observe both the parents' characteristics and the children's characteristics, which really helped us figure out how well they had fared once they moved.
As I kind of look at some data from your study, so the children of those parents, of those African-American men and women who left the South, actually graduated from high school at a rate 11% higher than their Southern counterparts.
That's right.
And then also they earned more, about $1,000 more per year, 11% less likely to be in poverty. So what does that say to you?
I think this really fits into a broader literature about stagnation in the South and areas of the U.S. that are persistently high inequality, low mobility states. And these people, this was like a release valve for them. They were able to move to the North, move to better opportunities, and their children really benefited from it, as we see in this study.
Versus if they had stayed in the South.
That's right.
Now, when you think of census data, there are things you cannot address, am I correct, through census data, such as?
Oh, there are some things that we cannot observe in the data. So we don't observe attitudes. We don't observe discrimination necessarily. We can observe segregation from where people are living, which we're exploring in a new study. But in terms of their outcomes, we really only see kind of the objective measures like education attainment and income.
So it really does tell us that kind of a where you live or where you're born really does matter.
That's right.
Looking ahead to the upcoming 2020 census, what might that add to this picture?
As more and more censuses become available and we're able to track more and more families over time, a clearer picture is going to emerge of what these effects are across multiple generations and how segregation has changed over the last 100 years and the long-term effects of that on children.
So thinking of this study that you've done, you've put it out here now, it's been published. What do you hope might be done with the work you've done?
Well, I think that this research output really fits within a broader literature where we're finding that there are persistent effects across families and that it varies by geography. So it's just building more and more evidence that perhaps we need some very targeted policies to try to reduce inequality in these highly immobile, high inequality areas.
Catherine Massey, University of Michigan Institute for Social Research. She's the co-author of a study exploring the economic legacy of the Great Migration. Interesting work, Catherine. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.